This episode of Way of the Warrior brought to you by Celebration Cinema, who celebrates UFC 189 by showing it on the big screen this weekend. You can get tickets at CelebrationCinema.com. Without further ado, let's get into it. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
Yeah.
Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Hultgren, along with Ryan Dempsey this time around. Ken is on vacation, and Ryan, so kind to jump in and do this live from Canada, I believe, right?
Live from Windsor.
It's live from Windsor we are doing this. So, first of all, thank you. I know you're on vacation, so thanks for taking time to do this. You are a longtime fan of the show, and this is very fun for me to do this, so I hope you have as much fun as I do in the next 20 or 25 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I'll have a great time. I love the show, and I'm glad I can help out with it.
Thank you, my friend. All right, so it's this weekend, UFC 189. I think you and I and just about most of the internet erupted when Jose Aldo was out with a bruised rib. Dana White has been very adamant this week and today saying that it's not broken, it's bruised. Everyone calm down. We have three doctors. That said, it felt like the wind had kind of got knocked out of this until the weigh-ins today. I mean, did you watch the weigh-ins?
I missed them, but I did see that there was a little bit of a scuffle in the back between McGregor and Mendez, but that was all I heard about, really.
Well, it was a stadium full of people for this way. So it really feels like, maybe for insiders, that this had kind of been damaged because Aldo is out. And don't get me wrong, it would be much better if it was McGregor and Aldo, because I feel that Mendez offers some trouble for McGregor. And if he beats McGregor, I feel the UFC's in some deep water if that happens. That said,
oh, for sure, yeah.
That said, I still think this card is bananas as far as what we've seen this year for UFC cards.
Oh, yeah. Even like going down to the preliminary card, yeah, like with Matt Brown and Tim Means going on there, you have Gunnar Nelson, Brandon Thatch on the card. Mike Swick making his first fight in 2.5 years, all the way up to like the two title fights. No matter what, the card is somewhat saved, even though with Aldo would have been a whole lot better.
It would have broken pay-per-view records. I mean, they've broken the gate records, and they broke the record today for weigh-ins. Everybody made weight except for Jeremy Stephens. He came in 3.5 pounds over, which I believe spells trouble for him, not only for this fight, but certainly for his career. 2-fight losing streak, you missed by 3.5 pounds. We'll talk to him in about 15 or 20 minutes, and you're going to hear him talk about how great his camp was. That clearly can't possibly be true. When you miss by 3.5 pounds, I would feel that your camp would be spot on if you weigh in on time. Your thoughts about that fight, because weight cut aside, those two I feel are going to just stand on the Octagon logo and go at it.
Yeah, they're just going to go just bang it out. Put a big stand up game. I would not be surprised if it doesn't go the distance. Try to see a knockout. I'm hoping for Bernice to win, but you can never really count Jeremy Stephens out, right? So,
do you think Stephens is right, though, in that as soon as Bermudez gets hit, he's going to want to turn it into a grappling match?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I think we've seen Bermudez stand up. We've seen him go take it to the ground. So I've always enjoyed watching him fight. I can't really pick one thing about him. Stephens, I've seen a lot. But like you said, I think he might be in a lot of trouble when you're looking at his record. He has a couple wins here, but he mixed up the losses and the wins and missing weight now, a couple losses in a row now.
Yeah, I just think it'll be a really, really interesting fight to see how it pans out. I was super excited for this fight leading up to the weigh-ins, but him missing by 3.5 pounds, I think, is going to be problematic. The co-main event, which everybody on earth is sleeping on, is historic in a number of ways. Number one, it's Rory McDonald's first ever rematch from UFC 167 when he and Robbie went to a decision that Robbie ultimately got and then put him on this rocket ship ride to where he is today. And I think it's safe to say both men have changed a lot, but Robbie not nearly as much as Rory as a fighter. I think Rory has evolved far more than Robbie has in the course since UFC 167. Robbie is still destroying people, but he's destroying people by getting better at what he was already good at. Safe to say?
Yeah. Like ever since the last, you look at the fight against Damian Maia when he probably lost the first round, safe to say, and then he came back to take the next two. The way he picked apart Woodley and Tarek Saffiedine there to put himself in this position. I think the loss to Robbie Lawler there back in Montreal, it was in Vegas. I think that fight really helped change his mindset and his way as a fighter.
So what do you think going into this fight? Because, it feels – what's interesting about this fight is both of these guys have fought each other before. And like I said, both of these guys are very different than when they fought each other at UFC 167. That said, the X factor is both of them seem highly unbreakable. I think going into the Matt Brown fight, everybody was like, between Robbie and Matt Brown, like, oh, well, Matt Brown's unbreakable. It's going to be really hard for him to, break him down. And it wasn't very hard for Robbie. So the interesting part about this will be the mental game between these two, because they've been there before, and I think both of them mentally are some of the strongest in that division, if not the two strongest.
Yeah, what I've noticed a little bit with Roy McDonald's last couple of fights is that he almost takes his opponent's strength and does like the GSP way of making him more of a weakness. Like you look at Jake Ellenberger, he didn't let him get in close, took the jabs. That was before the Lawler fight, and then you look at Damian Maia, he hasn't let them get into their comfort zone more, and I think that now you're going to see a different Roy McDonald. I think he's not going to be afraid to get in with Lawler a bit more. I think Lawler kind of got in his head in the first round a little bit at 167. I think that it's going to be a different outcome because of that. I don't think he's going to let it get that way.
And what's interesting is this one will be five rounds if it needs to be, where that one was only three. And I think, despite Rory turning it on in that last minute of the third round of 167, Robbie destroyed him in that third round for most of it. And if it went another two rounds, I think Robbie probably would have finished. It's easy to say that in hindsight, but a five-round fight with these two guys gets really, really interesting. And that's why I'm surprised at the amount of people that are sleeping on this fight. And without further ado, we'll talk about what everyone wants to talk about, right? Conor McGregor, Chad Mendes. And leading into this fight, it was Jose Aldo. Jose gets injured with a rib injury that turns out to be a bruise. He drops off. Mendes is the natural choice because Mendes was the guy that could do what they wanted to do. Mendes is the number two guy ahead of Uriah Faber. I know that there was a talk. I mean, sorry, Frankie Edgar. I know there was talk about Chad or Frankie, and they're going to say it was a coin toss. It wasn't a coin toss. This is a business decision because they knew Mendes would turn it on and there would be heat there and you would get people excited about it and they would get into a scuffle. McGregor gets into a scuffle backstage with Uriah Faber and then gets into a scuffle on stage and asks Dana White if he can kick Chad Mendes during the weigh-ins, which obviously Dana said no. But you get part of that heat that you were looking for between Aldo and McGregor with Mendes stepping in that you would have not gotten with Frankie Edgar.
Yeah, exactly. And also, and the other thing the UFC was probably looking at was if McGregor does lose, at least you have the Mendes Aldo 3 with that the follow up from that great fight we had late last year. Why not try to promote Mendes as this guy who stopped the unstoppable Irishman? These people that might not have been familiar with Conor McGregor, but just known because of all the talk. If Mendes can pull off the fight, these people might start to want to see Mendes more. Now you have Mendes Aldo 3. People might want to jump on that. So I mean, the UFC kind of put themselves in a better position. Again, and Edgar, although too, a lot of people might not want to see as much. But I still think that McGregor's going to pull it off though, regardless, so I'm not going to have to worry about that.
It's an interesting fight in that Mendes is a jump up in competition and a different type of competitor than Aldo would be. Whereas, Ken and I have said that McGregor versus Aldo, we're all day going to pick McGregor, where McGregor versus Mendes, it's kind of a toss-up because Mendes brings an element to the game in the wrestling that is the X factor for McGregor. That said, an 8-inch reach advantage with a tenacious, highly accurate striker like McGregor makes it very difficult for you to get that wrestling game going, especially when you're shorter than him.
Yeah, and another thing, we really haven't seen a lot of McGregor's ground game that much in the UFC. He's been talking about his coach being the first Irishman to have his Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. His coach is a great wrestler, so we have a chance to see if he gets taken down, does he have the ability to stand with some of the best on the ground?
Yeah, and I think this will be a really interesting fight. And like I said at the beginning of the show, and I've said it for three straight weeks since this Aldo thing bubbled up, I'm telling you, this organization, as much as you want to try and get me fired up about Aldo Mendes 3, they're in trouble if McGregor loses this one. For the amount of money that they've sunk into this dude has to win this fight.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, the $1 million plus some promotions and all that. They really got to hope that he does win it. And I like I said, I'm pulling for him to win. I want to see him win. But I don't think anyone will be surprised if he does lose, and then maybe they can set up the Edgar McGregor fight as the number one contender for the winner of Mendez Aldo for next year.
Sure. I've said this. You know, you saw it with the Gil Melendez getting busted and out for a year, right? We're in July, kids. This whole organization is going to be so much different in January of 2016 than it is right now with three things. One, it's going to be the weight cutting. You know, when they ban IVs in October, that's going to change it. It's going to be the second huge change. Two is the drug testing. They tested everybody for the Ultimate Fighter out of competition heading up to this fight that's on Sunday night. And so as these guys start to get popped and guys that you thought were superstars like Gil Melendez, you know, you don't think that Gil Melendez is a guy that's going to get popped because it just doesn't seem like a thing that he would do. But I think that's going to become more of the norm. And in 2016 of July, you need guys like McGregor to keep pulling people in because Rousey can't fight 12 times a year. I know you want her to, but she can't fight 12 times a year.
Yeah, and the big thing, too, with that IV coming up is that thing that was there earlier in the week with McGregor having dropped 27 pounds in like 5-6 days and all that. Like, if that's true, and he's really cutting this weight and he goes in for the IVs afterwards, now with him not being able to do that, you might be having to look at him fighting at 155.
Except for the only thing I would say to you, Ryan, is that he has time to adjust. It'll be for the people that don't want to adjust, that have a terrible weight cut and then just get shellacked on a Saturday night. That's going to be problematic for those guys. I mean, knowing that it's coming up, you've just got to do it better. You know, you can't cut 27 pounds. Or, like you said, you've got to make a better decision. If he has the championship belt as of Saturday night, Sunday morning, you know, does he defend it once between now and October and then bounce up to 55? I don't know. But these hard weight cuts are going to become a thing of the past, and it's going to change not only, like you said, where these guys could land. McGregor could be at 55 or he could be at 70. I mean, he was walking around at 172 2 weeks ago, you know, so who knows where these guys will actually end up. But that's going to change it. The drug testing is going to change it. And as all of these weird stories, and I don't want to get into it because there's not enough detail out there to talk about the Travis Brown situation, but that being a situation that's becoming more often than not in the UFC, it's going to be a problem for this organization that starts on Saturday night. You know, if a guy like McGregor gets bounced out by a very talented fighter in Chad Mendes who actually could do this. I'm not saying that it can't happen. It absolutely, positively could happen. But when you're trying to build a brand that's going to change its trajectory starting in July, which is this month, you need stars. And you need stars like McGregor that you can count on to make weight. Guys like Mendes that you can count on to make weight. Guys, you know, women like Rousey that you can get to do pay-per-view draws. But there's a plenty of guys on the roster that I feel are going to be in trouble in the next 6 months when all this stuff goes into effect.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I've already seen a lot of the news reports that they've been putting out saying that, and just to watch how many divisions drop in numbers and how many of the heavier divisions start to rise in numbers just because of all these things. And without being with the steroids going, you're going to see different muscle masses. With the OIVs, you're going to see different weight cuts. You're going to see a lot more. You're going to see a lot of different fighters in a lot more different weight classes, which, I mean, it could be great for the sport, but say, like, you know, like you said, if McGregor wins and then he can't make the weight and he has to go up, then what do you do? Yeah. Now you're looking at, do you put him as a number one contender in the lightweight division right off the bat? Does he have to fight in the lightweight division a couple of times? So, yeah.
Yeah, and I will have to wait and see. But Saturday night, UFC 189 on pay-per-view, an absolutely stacked card. Very excited to see what happens because from top to bottom, as you said in the prelims, seeing Mike Swick come back, and he looks fantastic going against Alex Garcia. That's going to be a great fight. There's lots of great fights to enjoy on Saturday night. And you get back-to-back. Sunday night, it's the Ultimate Fighter finale, American Top Team versus the Black Zillions. You get to see those finales. And then the main event is Jake Ellenberger versus Wonderboy Thompson, who is one of my favorite fighters in the UFC just because of the way in which he fights. And again, very similar to the fight you're going to see Saturday night, in my opinion, where you've got a guy who likes to wrestle against a guy who's got some length and some really profound and prolific striking.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see what kind of Jake Ellenberger we get, because, I mean, you take away the Josh Koscheck fight where Koscheck really probably shouldn't have been in there that time. He's on a three-fight losing streak, you know, losing to McDonald, losing to Lawler, losing to Gastelum. So it's going to be interesting to see, do we get the one that we went up against Marquardt in March a couple of years ago? Do we see the one who fought Koscheck earlier this year? What Ellenberger do we see, the striker or the one who just gets outperformed?
Right, and you know, and Steven lands almost twice the significant strikes per minute that Ellenberger does, which, again, with a 2-inch reach advantage, I feel is problematic to a guy who will probably want to keep it close, because Steven can make the distance and get away from you and then do some stuff that you don't see coming. And I think I'm very excited to see that fight. So you get back-to-back, you get pay-per-view on Saturday night, you get Sunday night with the Ultimate Fighter finale, and then last night, or early this morning, depending on when you saw it happen, we got the answer to the question about, is Cyborg going to keep her championship belt, which she did definitively in about 90 seconds, beating Faith handily in the way that she does, you know. And it's hard for me, Ryan, to look at the fights in Invicta and judge properly what would happen in the UFC, because last night it looked like Cyborg touched Faith once, and that fight, and Faith wanted out of the octagon. And you know, there's no doubt that Cyborg has power, but it's hard for me to judge the distance in skill sets, especially when you saw all of those Invicta fighters come into the Tough House and how many of them got annihilated once they got into the UFC. It's hard for me to kind of compare apples to apples what would happen as we talk more and more about this Rousey Cyborg fight.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the when WEC merged into the UFC, and you had a lot of the bigger name guys that kind of start off a little bit slow. You know, you saw a lot of guys get cut, and then slowly, eventually, you saw the Pettises and the Cerrones and the Hendersons start to separate themselves as the cream of the crop from the WEC days. Looking at these fights, like Cyborg, if she does go in, you know, there was a talk earlier this week of Misha Tate. There's a talk of Ronda Rousey. I don't see her getting past either of them, no matter what. Even if they do a catch weight, if she's able to make the 135, I don't see it happening. I don't see a win for Cyborg. I just think that the fighters in the UFC compared to Invicta, they're just that little step higher up. Otherwise, well, you would be in the UFC.
Well, yeah, there's that obvious correlation, right? And then there's the weight cut. I think Luke Thomas had a video chat this week that he does leading up to all the pay-per-views, and he had a great point that we talk, and you and I just did 4 minutes ago, we talked about these huge weight cuts and how we want to see them go away, and we're happy about the IV ban coming in October. Unless it has to do with Cyborg, then everybody wants to talk about this terrible weight cut of this woman who should not fight at 135, save for this thing that everybody wants to see. But health-wise, there's no reason she needs to fight at 35 other than this fight that we are pining to see happen.
No, exactly, no. So it was, I think it was the two Ortiz, that was, or maybe even her current manager, that said if she goes down to 135, she's going to be dead. If she's going to have to stay at 145, and then the UFC, they're going to have to figure something out with that. They're going to create another women's division. They're going to have another Ultimate Fighter for the 145 class.
Maybe, but we're in a year where you've got somebody who I find completely fascinating in Johanna Jędrzejczyk, but you're putting her title fights on Fight Pass. So what happens when you add another weight class?
Yeah.
Right? Like that girl has a belt and can't even get on TV. What happens when you add another weight class? I don't care if it's Cyborg. What if Cyborg loses? What do you do with the rest of the people at 45?
Yeah, well, I think that's the thing. I think that if they do create a weight class for the UFC just for Cyborg, you're going to look at that the same that's happening with Joanna, when even with the DJ and the men's 125, you're just going to see someone who's just going to stand there and just pick people apart for fight after fight after fight for a long time until they just kind of give up the belt, and then where do you go from there?
Well, yeah, because you still, if you make 145, you're still no closer to putting Ronda, and Ronda's not going to go up to 145. What would be the point? I mean, if she did, it would be much like the John Jones conversation. You know, John said when he goes up, you know, when he comes back, if he comes back, whatever, when he goes up from 205 to heavyweight, that's where he's staying. And so, you know, at what point does Ronda do that, or does she, which I think is more likely, does she go the route of Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, and go, you know what, I've beaten everybody that I need to beat, and Cyborg, we couldn't make this fight happen a la Randy and Fedor, see ya. I'm going to Hollywood where it's safer and I can keep my wits about me for much, much longer for more and more money.
Yeah, and she has a lot of movies lined up. You always hear nonstop movie roles that she's being offered. She's talked about wanting to go into the WWE just because it's more wear and tear for the travel, but less wear and tear on the body physically, like being punched repetitively and all that kind of stuff. So she has a lot more doors open to her to take if she wants to. Like, she can avoid the Cyborg fight, and she's financially fine.
Totally.
Cyborg would have a lot more to gain from that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would argue that if Vince took Ronda Rousey, if that was a thing that happened, she would get the same treatment that Brock gets, where she fights six times a year and that's the end. You know, like, they wouldn't make her get in a van and go 300 days a year. You know what I mean? Like,
No, not at all.
They're not going to do that to Ronda Rousey. But yeah, there's just plenty of opportunity for her, being Ronda, that she doesn't need to take the Cyborg fight. That said, Cyborg won handily in Invicta 13, and it opens a whole bunch of doors to see what's going to happen. Are they going to make this fight happen? We still got to get past the August UFC 190 fight that Ronda has coming up in Brazil, but I think she's going to win that one handily, and then we've got to have some discussion as to whether or not, you know, are we going to do this in December, as some people have, you know, bandied about, depending on what happens in August. Or Dana mentioned today that UFC 200 is going to happen in 16 at a venue that hasn't even been created yet in Las Vegas. Are you going to wait till that, you know, put another huge marquee fight on that card? I guess we'll have to wait and see. But when we talk about weight classes, and specifically these weight cuts and the elimination of the IV, I think you have to talk about, is it safe and is it practical for Cyborg to make this cut if indeed it's going to do damage to her body? Because if she can only go down one time to fight Ronda Rousey, and she wins the belt, then what do you do?
Yeah, and the thing is, like, if she is making that weight cut, and if it is a rough weight cut, she could just walk in there just like a lamb going to the slaughter.
Right.
To be honest with it, it's like Ronda Rousey. I mean, you see people that do a good weight cut, and what she does to them. If you're looking at someone who's struggling just, you know, to get down to 135, and then they can't get on the IV, they can't put any extra weight on, it's like she's going to be beaten before she even gets in there. And I don't even think that would almost take away from the fight itself.
For the insiders, for sure. I think the casual fan will still tune in because they don't know any better, you know, because they just don't pay attention to that stuff. That's nothing against the casual fan. That's who, obviously, everybody wants to reach, is the casual fan. But you're absolutely right from a metaphysical standpoint. You'd be just defeated before you even got into the octagon. Okay, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, Brandon Thatch is going to join us, and Jeremy Stevens, he missed weight, but he had a very entertaining interview earlier this week, so we will talk to him next. It is Way of the Warrior. Ryan, thank you so much for the time. We will catch up later next week, but it's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show. Your MMA show. Ken Evans is out this week. Ryan Dempsey was filling in the first segment. And in this segment, we'll spend a couple minutes talking to Brandon Thatch, and then we'll jump in to talk to Jeremy Stevens. All of that happens right this very second as Brandon Thatch joins us. Brandon, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. It's a celebratory birthday week for you, so happy pre-birthday.
Thank you.
Big, huge fight this weekend, UFC 189. You've had a bit of an opponent swap. You're now fighting Gunnar Nelson. By and large, you know, UFC fans have seen you three times. You seem like an affable guy. The interview that you've got up on UFC.com, you seem like you took a lot of lessons out of the Henderson fight. Can you talk a little bit to me what it's like to take another fight on short notice, like where your head's at?
I've been training for another opponent, you know, so the training's there. It's just a different opponent, and ultimately it's a fist fight. You know, I'm going to fight my style regardless of who it is. I just need to be aware of the dangers that they possess.
Do you feel, though, that the Gunner fight is a more fun fight for you? Because both of you guys like stoppages. I think both of you guys are going to, as you say, meet in the middle and just kind of do your fight. Does this seem like a more fun fight for you?
I think this fight is a more lucrative fight. I feel like there's more payout for the win as far as what it does for my career. And after beating him, it's a better name. He's a ranked opponent in the top 15, so that's where it pays out more.
What is the feeling like this week? You know, they've called UFC 189 the Conor Show forever. You know, you've got a really on-point Instagram game, so maybe some people have seen your Instagram guess on what's going to happen in the fight. But what's the press like? What's the media like this week surrounding 189? Do you feel like all of the fights are getting equal shine, or is it really the Conor McGregor Show this week?
I said it in the last interview that I just did that I think a lot of people are sleeping on the Rory McDonald Robbie Lawler fight. I think that's going to be just as exciting, if not more exciting, than the so-called McGregor Show.
Your fandom is showing, my friend. UFC 189, Brandon Thatch, we're talking to him. As I said, lots of social media out there. You seem like Instagram is your spot. Your latest installment is your ode to Monsanto. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing too secretive or anything. I think Monsanto is destroying our food, our food sources, and you know, it's something that will, if continued, is not going to be able to change. You know, it's devastating, and it needs to absolutely be stopped.
Do you think that this is a great, because as I see, you know, fighters like yourself who are really taking these sorts of things seriously, does this not seem like a great platform for you to speak out against that stuff, given your lifestyle and that so many people, you know, as they watch you fight, they want to know how people stay in that sort of shape or get in that sort of shape and what sort of stuff they consume? Doesn't it seem like the ideal platform for you to maybe push that a little bit and maybe make that your thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's just something that, you know, with the more attention you get, the more responsibility you have to spread stuff, and it's something that if you feel passionate about, then, you know, you should absolutely speak on something like that.
UFC 189 is on pay-per-view. Brandon Thatch is going to be taking on Conor Gunnar Nelson, not Conor McGregor. I'm sure you'd like to take on Conor McGregor if I can take your tense, but you're taking on Gunnar Nelson. I know you've got a ton of these to do, and I know at times these can get a little bit cumbersome, so I appreciate the time. I will just say one more time, have a wonderful birthday, and we will talk soon. Good luck on Saturday night as you take on Gunnar Nelson.
Thank you very much.
And from Thatch to Stevens, Jeremy Stevens, thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Awesome, brother. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. UFC 189 this weekend. Dennis Bermudez, you two are going at it. And I want to start first with talking about the mental game, because both of you did similar interviews for Fox Sports, except you seem like you're in a much, much better mental space than he is. Can you talk a little bit about what it is that you attribute to learning from the losses and then just being in a great space? Because you sound like you're in a great space and all the stuff that you've done leading up to Saturday, and he just sounds super angry.
Yeah, you know, with past prior losses, I really had to go back and look at the drawing board. I was on a steamroll, you know, rolling through the division, and then I had a 5-round fight where I rocked the guy a couple times, knocked him down, and I didn't go for the kill. That's not like me. And it was my first 5-round fight. I was just trying to be conservative when I was in really sick shape. And it cost me. It cost me the fight just by a couple extra punches. So that fight didn't go my way. This last fight, being in a grappling match, just got a little tired. I was in between strength conditioning coaches, and I really wasn't. I was ready, but I wasn't as ready as I should have been or could have been. So I really had to go back and look at my past fights and what was the big aspect. And going back and looking at Rafael Dos Anjos when I knocked him out, I didn't even really have any coaches at the time. I was just training up in Bittendorf and coming down to San Diego and just doing it on my own. And really, I looked around and I was like, man, I didn't really have any coaches. It was just me, my mindset that I'm going to knock a fucking Brazilian out, and that was it. I remember when I was 21, 22, that was my mindset. I remember telling everybody I'm going to knock this fucker out. And that was it. You know, it was all mindset. You know, wasn't really necessarily the coaching or anybody around me, because at the time I really didn't have anybody around me that was really good for me, you know. And it was just the mindset I had. So being here, mixing it up with a couple other coaches and getting back on task, finding finding and learning that from my own mistakes, I'm more mentally prepared than anything. And then plus being in sick cardio shape, I mean, I'm 29 years old and I'm getting in better and better shape. And it's the anaerobic stage that I'm doing, the sprints that I'm doing, the training. I'm still learning and evolving and having fun with it. And that's the key, man. And mentally, you know, this is war, bro. You know, this guy's trying to take everything away from me. He's trying to take food off my kid's table. I picture this guy breaking into my house trying to hurt my kids. So, you know, I'm looking to fuck him up, kill him. You know, that's a war mentality. I'm going to war, and that's what it is.
And then, Jeremy, a couple things out of that I want to talk about is number one, that war mentality. And number two, how much of you do you think, maybe it's not a large amount, but having that history behind you, right? So when you're 21, your body is still growing and changing. And by the time you get to 29, obviously you've had a lot of life experience to get to 29, but you kind of, my summation of where I was at that point, you kind of understood your body a little bit more and what areas you could push and what areas you needed to change. Do you feel that you understand your body more now at 29 than maybe you did at 21?
Yeah, I do. You know, the science of training's really picked up. You know, getting body rehabs. You know, learning how to roll out, learning about myofascia in your body and keep passageways through your body to keep you from not being so sore the next day and open it up. Training smart. You know, doing long distance runs on when you're tired just to work the anaerobic heart rate. You know. You know, doing sprints the right days. You know, it's all about timing, calculation. You know, fighting is a true science, and getting in there, mixing up with good dietitians and Lockhart. You know, training with Olympic level wrestling and Daryl Christian, who's got tons of knowledge. You know, who's helping me out with my run programs, my wrestling, and you know, sticking with you know, my Thai coach John X. You know, we're just constantly just. We're always stepping it up at another level, but it's really just, you know, doing the basic things and the right things the right way at the right times. And it's really played out in this camp. Sometimes during camp, like, I'm so sucked up from the weight that I'm just dragging ass, you know, and we kind of have to slow it down a little bit. But this camp, man, I rolled right through it, steamrolled. And I feel like part of that was just my mentality and being in great cardio shape. And just overall, you know, I feel like my mistakes have built me for this fight. And this is a perfect matchup, you know. I mean, let's be honest, dude. You know, when I hit people, they want to take me down. That's just a given. Since day one, that's always happened. It's no secret that people want to take me down and try to grind me out. I'm prepared for that. I can wrestle too. I got a great Olympic coach in there, Daryl, who's just been phenomenal in my camp. My striking's on point. You know, I'm looking to keep it standing. You know, this guy wants to be boring, and I imagine that he'll want to brawl a little bit. But once he gets hit, it's gonna be a short night for him.
Well, and that's been one of my favorite quotes you've had this week. You were talking about turning fighters into wrestlers, and that's obviously going to be his game plan. He's talked about his wrestling because everybody knows that if you touch them, it changes the dynamic of the fight. So talk to me about how you would, like, ideally, what would you like to see? Do you want to, you've talked in two camps, sort of. You've talked one a couple times this week about making this a super exciting fight for the fans and putting on a show for the fans. And then two, you know, I imagine with your power, you would prefer to get this over with in 1 minute and then be on your way to the next thing, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, who wouldn't want to go out and knock somebody out in the first minute? That's always exciting. But I prepare for war. I prepare for a 15-minute hard-fought battle, and that's a type of pace that Dennis can push, so we have to be ready for that if that happens to go that way. And we'll win every minute and every second of that round. That's the goal, is to out. If he wants to keep a high pace, we're going to outpace him. But he's going to have to take a lot more damage than me. You know, he tends to have a offense that is his best defense, so let him do that. You know, if he wants to wrestle, fine. That plays right into our game plan as well. You know, we know all about this guy. He really truly is the one trick pony. And just because I can keep it standing doesn't mean I can't wrestle. And it doesn't mean that I can't get up. You know, I've fought some better wrestlers. I fought better grapplers than him. And I have beasts like Mike Chandler in the gym, who's a 55er, who's a way better, way more caliber wrestler than him. And I train with him every day of this camp. And and just gets me more and more prepared for somebody like Dennis, who is a smaller guy. He's not going to be as strong as a Mike Chandler, and he's not going to be like a grappler like Charles Oliveira, who I fought last, who's probably one of the best grapplers in the division. So, you know, that just life experience, just kind of like you said earlier, it prepares me for what is to come July 11th, and I'm ready to go and put on a show.
Jeremy Stephens joining us. He's taking on Dennis Bermudez on pay-per-view, UFC 189. And last week you got to do something very cool. Can you talk a little bit about throwing the first pitch out? Because on Instagram you can see the moments beforehand, but you don't kind of get to see it from your perspective. Can you talk me through how exciting that was for you?
Yeah, growing up, I wrestled all the way up to high school, and then, you know, I played baseball my whole life as well. So that was actually something I wanted to do in my life, was go play professional ball. Didn't pan out that way, but, you know, fighting has provided me a great life and brought me out here to San Diego from Iowa. And to go out there and throw a first pitch, be on the field, and get that experience was really kind of like a dream kind of come true. And it was fun, man. They treated me really nice. I was there at the batting practice, and to get to go over there on the field and throw the first pitch in San Diego was just, like I said, a dream come true.
Very cool stuff. Jeremy Stephens joining us. And one of the things that I like asking fighters, because I kind of like to get the human side of the aftermath of the fight, is you're obviously cutting weight. I'm imagining it's a fair amount of weight. On Saturday night / Sunday, depending on kind of when you come down from the fight high, what's that first thing that you kind of want to cheat on a little bit? What's that thing that you really reward yourself with food-wise?
I mean, dude, it could be anything. I mean, if I'm falling out of MGM and I'm seeing a steak, I'm going to grab a steak. If I see a pizza, I'm grabbing a pizza. I don't do McDonald's or anything like that. Like, I usually stick to a nice... You know, it's not steak and potato, it's steaks and potatoes. And, I'll eat anything, dude. I mean, sushi, steaks, I mean, all the stuff, you know. Then my wife's Mexican, so, you know, she'll cook me some pozole, some ceviche, aguachile. So, I mean, I'm just eating enchiladas. I mean, I get pretty plump after the fight, but it's all worth it, man. It's going to taste so good.
Absolutely. Saturday night, UFC 189 on pay-per-view. It is a huge stacked card, and that's... The number one reason I wanted to talk to you is, number one, I've had you on a couple times. You're always fantastic. And two, I feel a lot of fans are sleeping on the rest of the card and paying attention to one particular Irishman as if that's the only thing going on. This is going to be a bananas fight, you against Dennis Bermudez. If people want to follow you, I know you're on Twitter and Instagram, but do you have a preference? Like, where's the thing that you like to do? Like, if people wanted to follow you and get the inside scoop.
Yeah. I mean, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. It's Lil Heathen MMA. Jeremy Stephens, Lil Heathen. Stevens and Lil Heathen MMA is my Twitter and Instagram, so you follow me anywhere, hit me up, ask questions, whatever. I usually try to give feedback to everybody that I possibly can, and it's a good way to look and experience my life.
Jeremy, have a wonderful rest of the week. Cannot wait to see you in the Octagon Saturday night. Get your hand raised. Jeremy Stephens joining us, taking on Dennis Bermudez, UFC 189. Go on, my friend. Have a great week. We'll talk soon.
Hey, thanks, brother. Really appreciate the interview.
As always, catch all of the action on Twitter or Facebook at Wow Show, or you can catch it on the big screen this week. UFC 189 is at Celebration Cinema, one of our premier sponsors, and we love them for that. So you can catch it on the big screen this weekend. UFC 189, all of the results on Twitter at Wow Show. Have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.